Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Starting the week off with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but swing on over there, check out what, you know, what might pop up there during the week. You never know. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Sports Time, and Dan the Man is at?
I'm Dan the Man with 3D.
Oh. All right, Dan. Well, we're almost done with week two in the NFL, and there is so much going on that I don't even know where the heck to start. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So what did you learn yesterday from week two in the NFL?
The Packers are probably going to be the best team in this division.
Okay, well, we can start there with that game. Obviously, the Packers, you know, that was a weird game because it looked like it was going to be a blowout. The Packers jumped out. They got out there, I think it was 21-0. And then it was like the Vikings woke up and realized they were in a game. Obviously we're just 2 weeks in, but do you think the Vikings are kind of questioning about giving Kirk Cousins all that money now?
I mean, I don't even know what to say about it. I thought they would have played a better game, but.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, he was the hottest free agent on the market, 2 years ago, obviously. And Minnesota was the team that stepped up and paid him. And, everybody loved it. They thought it was great. And, you know, that's what they needed was, the quarterback, a guy to lead them into the playoffs. And, we're looking at a team that, last year you and I thought, I think both you and I had him going to the Super Bowl. So, I don't know. And I mean, obviously, it's just 2 weeks, so you don't want to, try to overreact. But, boy, he just hasn't looked good. And that's got to be a bummer for you, considering you were just in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I was just back in Minnesota.
So, obviously it's not like they're making a change quarterback or anything, but it's definitely not the way they expect things to go here with this team. And I don't know. I mean, especially now, they have a running game. Dalvin Cook has looked fantastic, the first 2 weeks of the season. And, I don't know. We'll have to see if they come up with some answers. Luckily it didn't have any effect on the game, but, that was an incredibly stupid play by Stephon Diggs. Every player knows that you can't take your helmet off of the field. And I got a kick out of the fact that the announcers tried to cover for him, thinking that he thought the play was over and he was off the field. Well, no, he was celebrating his touchdown and he took his helmet off. But luckily that didn't, you know, I mean, I think they missed the extra point, but luckily it didn't outcome on the game. So that was, you know, okay.
Well, you know, what I thought was funny was watching the Bears game, because, you know, you brought up the announcers, and there was a penalty, a roughing call, because a Bears player allegedly body slammed a guy. But, you know, I love the fact that it wasn't Joe and Buck on there, because the other announcers for the B team, or whatever you want to call them, completely destroyed the referee on how it was such a horrible call.
Yeah, well, there were two, you know, incredibly bad roughing the passer calls in that Bears-Broncos game. And, you know, the one cost the Broncos the game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it gave the Bears that extra 15 yards. And then I still don't understand, I've always been pretty good at math, you know, physics, those kind of fun things. And there was absolutely no physical possible way that the Bears could have gotten that timeout at the end of the game. You know, that clock had to expire. So, you know, it was just kind of weird. You know, I mean, honestly, I think what it boils down to is my guess is that the refs had their money on the Bears, and they needed them to cover. So, you know, they went that route with it. And, you know, hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, I get it. You know, you don't want to lose your money. So, you know, you make these things happen. But, yeah, I mean, that was just – that was embarrassing. And then I don't know if you saw this one because, you know, the game wasn't televised. I just caught the highlights. But I'm under the impression that for whatever reason, the NFL officials just hate the Saints, you know, because they got them again with another really, really bad, really obvious call. And I just don't know how it continues to happen to them, but it does. And, you know, I mean, again, luckily it had no effect on the game. You know, and now the worst part of the game, not only did they, you know, not get the touchdown, but then they go ahead and lose Drew Brees for 6 weeks. But, yeah, just knocked my headphones right off my head. So, but, yeah, I don't know what, you know, what they did or who they, you know, who they angered in the NFL office. But, you know, there isn't a ref out there that seems to want to give the Saints any kind of break. But yeah, and I'm sure there's probably some other, you know, bad officiating somewhere, you know, we missed.
Now, what was your take on the day as a whole?
You know, I mean, honestly, what I got a kick out of, and I think you would have gotten too, you know, I've mentioned the show a billion times. After every Bears game, WGN Radio has Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich, and Glenn Kozlowski. They're all former players. Do a recap. And Hampton basically called it week two of the preseason. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest. That's what we're watching. We're watching preseason football because, you know, the new in vogue thing is we don't play these guys. You know, nobody plays in the preseason. Everybody rests. And, you know, that's just how it goes. so now we're making up for it. I mean, especially in the Bears game, how badly did some of those guys look at, you know, look out of shape playing in Denver?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things I've been surprised by is diehard Uncle Bob. I know he loves his comments. And normally I think you and I would love to argue with him on here, but I think we both know it would just be the Uncle Bob show if we brought him on here. But, you know, he actually, I brought that up to him. I said, you know, one of the things that... The thing that killed me, you know, Trubisky is the worst draft pick ever. Lennon sucks, so he's the savior. He was on his way to the Hall of Fame after last season, and then he lost week one, and he deserves to be traded, fired, the whole nine, whatever you want to do. He's trash. But, you know, I brought up, and I'm like, well, you know, how can you expect starters to play well when they haven't played in pads and in a real life game since last February or January. And he completely agreed with me. So I think it's funny that, you know, Dan Hampton must have been listening to us say that for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, Hampton's been a big advocate of this because, like, he even mentioned, you know, in his career, it took him a couple preseason games to get up to speed. So he needed to play, so he kind of knew what he needed to work on. And, you know, obviously, I mean, the Bears completely took that away because, you know, all Trubisky did was hand off the ball. You know, Aaron Rodgers has even shown some rust, and he didn't play a down in the preseason. You know, and I mean, I get it. You're going to hear the excuse, well, you know, we don't want him to go out there and get hurt. Well, you know, you also don't want to suck coming out of the gate. So, you got to take the good with the bad. But, yeah, just kind of... it was quite humorous because, you know, obviously I work with a lot of Bear fans, and I want to see the Bears do well, you know, myself because they're the Chicago team. But the way these guys kind of thumped their chest after a win like that, I mean, you would have thought the Bears dominated and Denver got lucky and scored some points late. So, like I said, in reality, I mean, the Bears had no business winning that game.
Yeah, and I guess that's where I was going with that. And I was telling my nephew that last night because we were actually working out at the gym. And, you know, they had the Bears game on, so we were watching it. And they were down by, like, 2 points, and there was, like, 10 seconds left or something. I'm like, that game's over. He's like, yeah, it's over. So we just, you know, stopped paying attention to the TV and, you know, went back to our thing. And, you know, I was doing my set, pop up, and he's like, team won. I'm like, what? I go, oh, great. We're going to hear how great this team is tomorrow morning because they won out of
field. Yeah, well, you know, obviously the biggest plus for them is the fact that they had a field goal kicker who could make it. You know, last year you have to wonder if they actually win that game. But, yeah, I mean, you know, let's face it, they needed a ref with money on the game to win it. Bottom line, I mean, there's no other reason. And then the sad part is, they review the damn thing and get it wrong. Oh, there's 1 second left on the clock. You literally are talking about physical impossibilities with as fast as a second goes. You know, maybe if you got lucky, there was 1/10 of a second on the clock. But, yeah, they were lost. You know, I mean, the Bears should be 0-2. You know, I mean, I don't know if it'll matter in the end. I mean, neither of these teams looked like playoff teams, so we'll see. You know, but then, and obviously, the bigger thing is we kind of move along. Not only is Drew Brees going to be gone for 6 weeks, so the Saints are in a bit of trouble, but the Steelers lose Ben Roethlisberger for the season. And interestingly, a non-contact injury, Dan, he blew the elbow out throwing the football. So, yeah, apparently he needs UCL surgery. He did say he's got 3 years left on his contract after this. He did say he plans on returning to fulfill his contractual agreements. You know, because there was a lot of talk. I mean, I actually thought maybe he would just retire. You know, he's got nothing left to prove. I mean, he, you know, he's won a Super Bowl. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, you know, if he was to walk away right now, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. But, you know, as of now, he says he's coming back. You know, we'll see if that lasts or how that lasts. But, you know, if you're out looking for a quarterback in your fantasy league, you're going to get, you know, my guess is you're going to get Teddy Bridgewater for 6 weeks in New Orleans. There's been some talk about Taysom Hill. I mean, you guys forget how good of a quarterback Bridgewater was before he got hurt. So I really think he's the choice. And then if you're really digging, Mason Rudolph has taken over in Pittsburgh. So, you know, at least you know he's going to get a starter. But, yeah, I think the Steelers are done, Dan. You know, they haven't looked great without, you know, good old Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown. And, you know, now you lose Big Ben. I think we're looking at a team that may be under 500 and definitely not a playoff team anymore. I don't know. You didn't have Big Ben or Breeze in either of our leagues?
No. And, you know, there was a couple things you and I just kind of forgot about, and I don't know if maybe it's just disinterest because of, you know, whatever reason, but we forgot to make our NFL prediction before the season started and the weekly pick'em. So I guess that's a 2020 thing.
Yeah, no, I can tell you it's all disinterest on my part. I really don't give a rat's you-know-what about the NFL. I mean, it's, you know, with the, you know, especially, you know, ask me like week four when they're playing actual football, and I'll probably be a little more interested in it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, these games have been ridiculously bad, and I don't know why in the hell you would want to watch them. So, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, like I was really excited to kind of watch the Minnesota Green Bay game yesterday. And, you know, like I said, it started off okay. Well, at least for Green Bay, you know, on the Minnesota side, you know, not so much. But again, they did get better as the game moved along. So, you know, we're okay there, but yeah, it's just, other than that, it's just really difficult to watch. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what, you know, I don't really know what to do. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, great. You know, here we go. Whoopee. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure you're not watching much football. I mean, are you missing not watching football?
No, not one bit.
So, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those things. I mean, it's like, yeah, okay, great. It's, you know, hey, yeah, let's watch, you know, let's watch the game. And then the game gets on and you're like, wait, why am I watching this game? These teams are terrible. So, you know, I mean, luckily, you know, I didn't get the, you know, I haven't had the pleasure of seeing Miami yet, So that's a big plus there. But yeah, you just kind of, you know, you kind of wonder how that's going to go. So, but yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm literally to the point when it comes on next week. I mean, do I watch it? I mean, I keep thinking I'll watch it, but I'm assuming one of these days I'm just going to end up turning away from it and not bothering. So.
Are you just bored with it?
Yeah, I don't even know if bored is the right way to describe it. I mean, it's just kind of, maybe if I see good football, I'll enjoy it. And, I get a kick out of, everybody's trying to pump everything up. And, if a team is 2-0, they're trying to run them. Hey, look, this team is 2-0. They're great. And, everybody is on the Cowboy bandwagon again. And I'm like, guys, they beat the Giants and the Redskins. Are we really that excited about it? And I was trying to remember, there was another 2-0 team that they beat the Cardinals and some other lame duck team. Oh, the Ravens. They beat the Cardinals and the Dolphins. Is that really worth getting excited about? I mean, you haven't played anybody. So, why are we jumping up and down on your bandwagon? It's like, really, can we beat somebody first before I decide if you can actually actually play? And then I saw like the stat today where, at this pace, Pat Mahomes is going to throw for almost 6,600 yards. Again, it's two games. He played the Raiders, and I forgot who they played week one. But my guess is it probably wasn't a very good team. So the fact that he's putting up monster yardage, is that really a surprise? So, that kind of stuff just bothers me when, I don't like, basically, I guess the best way to look at it is I don't like being treated like I'm stupid, when you throw this stuff up in my face. And I guess I get it in a way. I mean, you've got TV to sell and, you want people to watch your analysis show and all the other stuff you're bringing to the plate. But, it's just like, really, some moron who can't figure it out for himself, and I'm just gonna drink what you tell me. Like I heard some guy say that Dallas will go 10-0 this year before they lose a game. If you had money to bet, Dan, are you betting Dallas to go 10-0?
No.
So, just one of those things. So. I'm hoping, maybe I'll be a little more excited if I get some good football. But, until I manage to get some good football, I don't think I'm, it's just going to be a lot of flipping over to the NASCAR race and seeing what's going on while, everything else is being played. It was so bad after the Bears-Broncos game that I didn't even turn on the Sunday night football game. So I was just done. So, and then, of course, Dan, the big question, Antonio Brown played. He had 4 catches, 56 yards, and a touchdown. Now today, Sports Illustrated released some more stories, some more really not nice stories. These involve more of a domestic violence situation. Again, and I want to reiterate this, he has not been charged with anything criminal. All right? These are just accusations, and I want to make sure everybody understands that you can accuse anybody of anything. It's just a matter of being able to prove it. You know, I don't know, Dan, did they do the right thing in playing him, or should they have sat him one more week?
Did they win?
Yeah, they won 43-0.
Oh, I think it was 4-1, so. Yeah, with a blowout like that, they probably could have sat him for a week.
You know, and then the other interesting thing is I saw that his accuser, I forgot her name, she was scheduled to meet with the NFL today. He asked for $2 million in her settlement, and his Antonio Brown and his lawyers turned her down. So apparently that's the starting point for her silence, is $2 million.
Well, he obviously doesn't want to admit guilt. So.
You know, Dan, who do I got to get to punch me in the face so I can get $2 million? I'll take a shot to the face for $2 from somebody. So,
I don't know about $2 million, but if you get your boss to do it.
Nah, they don't. You know, I don't think they have $2 million. So, you know, I don't know. You know, you think I could piss Joe Madden off enough to get him to take a swing at me?
No.
Oh, okay. So, but yeah, that's where the. You know, that's apparently where the bidding starts. So, you know, now that they're talking, I'm sure that, you know, they'll end up working something out here. You know, that's just the starting point. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see if, you know, anything comes of these other issues. And I do find it interesting, Dan, you know, after this started coming out, why do you think these people held it back? Well, you know, I mean, because once her story came out, it should have been free game. You know, why didn't we hear any of this?
It's that time. You might as well pile on top of it.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm surprised it didn't come out, you know, a little sooner. But yeah, I mean, obviously we're going to pile on it. You know, I mean, I'm sure you'll be shocked to find out that Brown denied everything, which we would assume he would do. And again, you know, you get all this stuff coming out, Dan, and there's not one criminal charge on his record. So yeah, you know, it's just one of those odd situations, and we'll see if, you know, we'll see how these all play out and what they do. But I mean, I know the NFL has done it before, but. You know, you're gonna suspend a guy who hasn't committed a crime, or hasn't been accused of committing a crime, I guess you should say. I don't know. You know how else to put it. So. You know, this kind of how it goes. But all right, you know, really, just real quick, wanted to touch on this, even though I think Dan might be off on his break. He actually could get the chance to watch the Blackhawks tonight. They have a preseason game, or I believe in the NHL they're called an exhibition game. They're actually starting in a few minutes. They're at Washington to play Dan's other team, the Capitals. So, you know, if he's quick. You know, when he gets home, he might be able to get a little bit of ice time there, because we do have a draft coming up here in a few weeks. So, you know, we'll have to get ready for our NHL fantasy draft. So I'll have to, you know, maybe take a peek at that game and see what's going on there. But while Dan is away, let's see, I can tell you that we do have one final today in baseball. The Tigers beat the Orioles 5-2. Let's see here. Tyler Alexander picked up the win there for Detroit. John Means took the loss, and Joe Jimenez picked up a save. And, you know, being Monday, there's not a ton of action. So here's what we got going on in the majors tonight. The Padres are at the Brewers. You got Garrett Richards and Zach Davies making the start there. The White Sox are in Minnesota. You got Ronaldo Lopez against Jose Berrios. This is a kind of a big series here. You got the Nationals at the Cardinals. Obviously, both teams trying to hold on to playoff spots. You got Steven Strasburg against Dakota Hudson. The Reds are here in Chicago visiting the Cubs. You got Kevin Gausman against Cole Hamels. The Mets are out in Colorado to play the Rockies. It's Steven Matz against Antonio Senzatella. The Marlins are at Arizona. You get Pablo Lopez against Robbie Ray. And the night wraps up with Kansas City out in Oakland to take on the A's. You get Glenn Sparkman against Tanner Roark. I can tell you it was a little rough. And, again, I'm having one of those times where I'm in one of those streets where I'm just getting my head kicked in on FanDuel. So I went with Jose Berrios tonight. You know, I like the matchup. You know, even though the White Sox can put up some numbers, I like the fact that, you know, being a young team, they do strike out a lot, and Berrios is a strikeout pitcher. So I'm hoping, you know, I can get 6 or 7 innings out of this guy and get double-digit strikeouts. You know, if he managed to pick up a win, that would be even – more of a plus for me, but, one step at a time there. I'm just hoping for some innings and some, some strikeouts. Cause I know I had, over the weekend, I took a shot. It might've been Saturday. I really like Tyler Glasnow's matchup, and I knew he was coming back from injury, and I should have been smarter than this with Tampa Bay, but I was hoping for 5 innings and him to put up some numbers for me. I think he pitched 3 and he still racked up like 8 strikeouts, but obviously 3 innings isn't enough to get me diddly squat, unless of course you're hitting out of your mind. So yeah, I really, really ended up taking it in the chops there. And, you know, that was my own stupidity. I should have known better than to deal with anything at Tampa Bay that isn't Blake Snell when he's healthy or Charlie Morton. Because you just never know. I mean, they're always the smartest people in the room, so you just never know what they're going to come up with for pitching. Hopefully I'll have a little better night tonight with Berrios. And, it's getting to that point in the year where it's kind of tough to pick your pitcher because you just don't know when especially a playoff team. I mean, you run into a team like the Dodgers who have clinched, or I believe the Braves have clinched, when they're just going to kind of decide that, okay, well, it's this guy's turn to start, but we're only going to let him go 5 innings to keep him sharp. So, and then you're kind of sitting there going, great, I threw my money down on this. And I get it. Obviously, it's all their priority to decide if they want to do this or however they want to handle their teams. But yeah, it just makes it real tough on the fantasy players to try to figure out who you're going to plug in or what you're going to try to plug in. And, it's just like, okay, great. Let's go with this route. So hopefully Berrios is my answer tonight. And surprisingly, wasn't too expensive on FanDuel. He was only $8,500, which is a pretty good bargain for him. I know he's had some games where some starts this year where he's been $10,000-$11,000. So hopefully we'll cash. It'd be nice to cash. Like I said, I've really been taking it in the chops there lately. I don't know what the heck is what the heck is going on? You know, I'm in that streak where if I pitch, I don't hit, and if I hit, I don't pitch. So, you know, we'll see. But hopefully tonight's the night, and we'll have a good, you know, a good week rolling along. But, you know, we're looking, you know, 2 weeks left in the baseball season, and, you know, they're, you know, still got some, you know, some wild card drama, not a wild card drama, but there's also some NL Central drama now. But over in the American League, you know, the A's have the top spot. They're a game and a half up on the Rays. Tampa Bay hanging on to that second spot. They're a game and a half up on Cleveland. So, you know, it's a little more separation. It had been a half game most of the weekend. So, you know, it's kind of working out there. Over in the National League, again, things have tightened up. The Nationals lead the Cubs by a game and a half. And the Cubs hold on to that second spot over the Brewers by just one game. You know, I mean, you're looking at, like, the Mets are four out, the Phillies are four and a half out, the Diamondbacks are five and a half out. You're literally talking about now those kind of teams are going to have to win out if they're going to want any shot at all at the wild card. So, you know, it's really just kind of down to the three teams for two spots there in the National League. You know, the other thing that have factored in is, you know, with the Brewers knocking the Cardinals around a little bit this weekend, the Cubs are now just two back of the Cardinals, and the Brewers find themselves three back of the Cardinals. So, you know, you got to wonder, and, you know, Milwaukee playing good baseball. They won a couple in a row in nine of their last 10. You know, the Cubs on a four-game winning streak, you know, they scored what seemed like 100 runs against Pittsburgh over the weekend. You know, we'll have to see if they can keep it going. Obviously, another gigantic loss for them as Anthony Rizzo goes down with a sprained ankle. You know, they're already missing Javi Baez. The report is Rizzo's going to be in a walking boot for 5 to 7 days. And then he'll be reevaluated. My guess is, you know, you're looking at that. He's probably done for the year. You know, I mean, you know, if they were an American League team, maybe he could DH next week. But in that kind of situation, he's not he's not going to be able to get out there and play defense and move around. So we'll have to see. I mean, he's really the Cubs' leader here. So, you got to wonder how big of an effect that will have on them down the stretch. You know, tonight, you know, obviously they have a very beatable Cincinnati team in town tonight. And the Cubs do play much better at home than they do on the road. I mean, the split is almost just ridiculous. Yeah, they're 50-24 at home. And actually 13 games under on the road, 31-44. If they were just .500 on the road, they would be running away with this division. So that's just kind of how weird it is. But, yeah, they're Victor Caratini is going to get the start at first base for the Cubs tonight. So, you know, he'll get the first shot there, and we'll see if, how they go. But – you know, that's a tough loss, and hopefully he comes back for the playoff.
You said leader. I mean, I thought Daniel Descalzo was the leader of the team.
Oh, no. He's a good clubhouse guy.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So
clubhouse guy.
That's the good one. But I did want to ask you this, Dan. I saw this last week. And I asked Schomburg Stu, but I wanna get your answer here. You know, Chicago related, they had the poll question of who do you blame for the Cubs' struggles, and it was the players, Joe Maddon, or the front office. So if you had to make one of those three picks, Dan, who are you dropping the Cubs issues on?
Man. You know, it's who do you blame more? front office, or I'm going with the front office. I mean, I do think Joe Maddon plays a big hand in it, seeing as there's no consistency when it comes to the players. So, you know, but I think the biggest blame definitely has to go to the front office. Number one being the only thing you talked about pretty much all off season was the fact that they didn't address the bullpen. So starting pitching's been pretty great. Pretty good. Getting better, used better. I don't think Hendricks is where we would all love to see him, but for the most part, when you look at these guys, you match them up against anybody in the Major League Baseball. But you really can't match up that bullpen, which has struggled highly. And you could say, oh, well, they signed Craig Kimball. Yeah, but they also didn't want to give up a draft pick, so they waited till the end of the season, or, you know, however you want to put it, the middle, end of season. So that's just being a chicken and not wanting to put your eggs in a basket, because I think you could have given up one draft pick, especially since you bombed on Brandon Morrow, which, you know, that's the way it is. But, again, you addressed the fact that they needed to fill the bullpen. What did they do? They go and sign guys who you can't even consider to be super utility players. So, or guys in the bullpen that really aren't even playing anymore. So I think the biggest one goes to the front office. And while Theo can go on the radio and kind of, you know, maybe, I don't know, he went on the radio last week, Friday, I believe it was. I read him, you know, a transcript of it. And he's taking it as a whole, as a we, as a team, which, I don't know, as the guy, the leader of the front office, I think he should have taken some more responsibility for the downfall. Or maybe, not, I don't want to say downfall, but the lack of production.
So, yeah, well, interestingly, you chose the famous Stu. He's all in on, you know, it being on Theo Epstein and the front office. I'm sure everybody kind of knows where I lie with this. I mean, I'm all in on it being on Joe Maddon. I don't believe that, he's done his job. So,
well, don't get me wrong. It wasn't an easy decision. I don't want to say a 50-50, but it's definitely close up there. And, well, the other thing I forgot to put in there, too, for the front office was the backpedaling on Addison Russell. So,
yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, he's not, you know, he's not hitting the 20 home runs he once hit, and he's not doing this and that. Well, no, he's not. Because he can't. Because what do? They went and signed Daniel Descalso. They go and bring up Ian Happ. They go and try to play everybody they can at second base other than Addison Russell, who, without any consistency in playing, couldn't really develop. And, or, you know, kind of get back to where he was. And I think also the lack of faith, the lack of anything standing behind him from the front office, I think put him in a lower state. Especially being I don't know if you could say attacked, but really viciously kind of attacked from the media and having absolutely no backing from your front office. So you don't know from the time April hits until the end of the trade deadline of July 31st, whether or not you're actually going to be a part of this team. And it wasn't until after the trade deadline that he kind of picked his steam up a little bit and was actually a player at the end of the game picked to be interviewed by the lovely Kelly Kroll. So, you know, confident. In that they say the game is 90% mental and 10% physical. Well, can you see how it played out for some of the guys?
Yeah, well, you know, and humorously, if he would have played every day with the baseball, obviously, they're having on right now, he would have got his 20 plus home runs again. So.
Well, and not only that, the one thing that I don't know if maybe Theo and Joe and all them forget, they didn't win that World Series that season solely based on their offense, which is what they've been trying to do since they won the World Series, is bring guys up strictly based on their offense, was the defense. And how much of a better game is played when you've had Javi and Addison up the middle consistently? Where's, you know, where's that meme? Fight me, tell me I'm wrong, or however it goes. So tell me I'm wrong.
So, yeah, no, well, you know, on the plus side, though, you know, they've got this Nico Horner, who I've heard has already been given the second base job for next year. So they should be able to deal, you know, Addison Russell in the off season, and that'll, you know, that'll solve all our problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, and don't forget that outfielder, the one with the last name with the G, forgot his name already because he's not playing there really anymore. You know, I'm talking about Mark something. I want to say Grzelenik, but, you know, I'm kind of dating myself, taking it back 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
There was that guy, and then there was another one. Oh, that third baseman that's supposed to take over, you know, was subbing in for Chris Bryant, the young kid who got signed for 6 years, or, you know, $6 million.
David Bodie.
And they tried going with that, and again, when it comes to his defense, it's not that great. So you're losing games based, you know, because of that. All because you wanted to put Chris Bryant in right field for no reason at all.
So, yeah, I heard on the – another really interesting thing they were talking now. This is from Ken Rosenthal. He believes that Joe Maddon is done. You know, this is it. The Cubs aren't going to bring him back. And of course, right away, you know, I think he was talking to Greg Amsinger, and Amsinger right away jumped on the Joe Girardi bandwagon, which is wherever, you know, a lot of people think they're going to go. Rosenthal brought up the point that, you know, it would be expensive to hire a guy like Joe Girardi, where they can get, and I believe he put it, a younger, cheaper, more controllable manager. Now, controllable is an interesting word there, Dan, because I think you and I are both automatically thinking the same thing, right?
With the firing, or I guess you wouldn't fire him because the contract's over with, but the exit of Joe Maddon. Do you stay with a guy who, in my point of view, has no confidence in half of his staff, so he can't leave a pitcher out there for more than 4 1/3 innings because they gave up a double with two outs for a walk? Or do we get the new guy who quite possibly worked for Joe? Because, I mean, think about it, Big Jack. How many head coaches that worked for Joe over the last, you know, have gotten jobs over the last, like, 3 years, comes in and gets to spit out a lineup and is basically a ceremonial manager for the team?
So, yeah, that's, you know, like I said, I think we were both on the same line there when we were thinking that, yeah, this is kind of how it's going to go. I mean, they're going to go out and get themselves a Dave Roberts, and they're going to give him the lineup every day and tell him how to manage the team.
Well, and then, but, you know, we were talking about this actually at my job on Friday. I got a couple of diehards in the office. One guy who's in our boat, and, you know, he's been unhappy with Joe Maddon since the World Series win, so I like him. But you know, we were talking about it, and we were talking about kind of the history of the front office. And so you bring in the ceremonial manager, but what happens when it doesn't really work out because the front office is spitting? Oh, mind you, we were all trying to figure out what Jed Hoyer actually does, except for go on the radio a couple times a week. What happens when the ceremonial manager's lineups don't really work and Theo cannot take the pressure and does what he did in Boston and quits?
Yeah, just walks off. No.
So then you'll have another incumbent manager or lame duck manager, whatever you want to call it. So it's just, I don't know. It's one of those things where you're like sitting back and watching and going, you know, it's not the players. You know, we've had players that have become the scapegoat. I don't think you can label that there's that guy this year. That's really, you know, the issue or the drive him out of town kind of guy. And then, you know, there's the other thing. Like, I think you actually brought it up last week with Dombrowski being fired from the Red Sox and kind of the history that Theo has there. Do we see like a front office trade type deal?
Yeah, well, it would take a buyout. So, we'll have to see. So,
but I mean, you gotta wonder, because I think coming into this off season, they're going to be not so much moves wise, but front office wise, like just everything. I think you're looking at probably the two most interesting teams that are going to eat up a lot of the off season talk, and not because of players, because of managers and front office, you know.
But yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, I mean, you can lean, I think you can lean one or two ways. I mean, it's hard to blame the players, because I don't know anybody who's really underperformed. You know, I mean, you know, with the exception of the bullpen, I mean, you can pick the bullpen apart piece by piece and say, you know, this guy, that guy, whatever. But
we knew that, though.
You know,
we knew that.
Right. That wasn't a surprise. You know, obviously, you know, the manager is easy for me. I think this guy's a clown. You know, his big thing is to bring magicians and animals into the locker room. And once that wears off and gets old, it's just time for him to go away. And that's the time it is here. It's time for him to go away, start over someplace else, because he'll be fresh and probably do well. You know, it seems like when he first gets to a place, he does really well, you know, because it's new. And now you're looking at a guy who can say, well, I won a World Series. You know, but yeah, you need a change. You know, plain and simple.
And he's been in 1993.
Right. I mean, I can see people pointing fingers at the front office easily, just because they didn't do anything with the bullpen. You know, Brad Brock was going to be the saving grace, and he stunk so bad they released him. You know, I mean, we knew last year when they signed Brandon Morrow that he had an injury history. He's been fantastic when he's healthy, but I don't believe he's pitched an inning this year. So, you know, not a whole lot of help.
Hopefully they had insurance backing on that contract.
Yeah. So, you know, that, and I hope they're just not dumb enough to bring him back. You know, because that's always one of the things you have to have some fear there that they might decide, oh yeah, let's bring this guy back on an incentive laden contract and see if he works out for us. No, let's not. Let's let him go, and that'll be it. So, You know, then, you know, Dan, I think besides the Cubs, the other team that is probably possibly the most underperforming is the Angels. You know, they last week that Justin Upton's been shut down for the year. And then I think over the weekend they announced that Mike Trout is going to undergo season-ending foot surgery.
Yeah.
You got another reason to go to an Angel game, Dan?
Not unless you want to see them play the Sox and lose.
You're not excited to see Simmons at shortstop or anything like that?
No.
You know, I mean, for whatever reason, it almost seems like talent goes there to die. Well, I guess you could go see Albert Pujols. That would be okay. I would buy that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, these guys go out there and...
That was a bad
pun,
though. I think you should save that one for... Talent goes there to die.
I didn't even think of that. Sorry, yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it that way, so... don't take it that way. But, yeah, they just kind of go there to fade away. Let's go with that. You can kind of look. You know, like Upton went out there on a big deal, and he hasn't done anything. You know, obviously Pujols is on the downside of his career. You know, they brought in Zach Cozart after he had a career year in Cincinnati, and I believe he's been hurt ever since then they signed him. To be fair, Tommy La Stella was doing really well when he was healthy. Other than that, it's a cluster. You know, they run these young pitchers out there, and none of them live up to what they're supposed to be. So, yeah, I don't know what that team, you know, what the heck do they do? I mean, you know, you almost wonder. I mean, I know Trout is signed forever, but you know, you got to wonder if maybe they would have been better off dealing him for a boatload of prospects and just trying to clean it up.
Yeah, they still can.
So,
I mean, you can't compare, but if they were to do that, wouldn't you say he's like the Kevin Durant? Being that he's hurt, then, you know, someone would still take that contract. Run with it.
So,
you know?
But, yeah, because, I mean, I'm starting to think here. I mean, you know it's a rough season. You know, Dan, they only have four guys who qualify stat-wise that have had enough at-bats this year to qualify for anything. That's Trout, Fletcher, Pujols, and Cole Calhoun. That's David Fletcher, by the way. You know, everything else has just been kind of piecemealed together. Andrelton Simmons is hurt. Upton's only played 63 games. I still don't understand the Justin Moore signing. You know, you had Pujols, you didn't need him. It was just kind of stupid. But yeah, I don't know what this team. It's just it's a nightmare, and maybe it's something look into a little deeper tomorrow.
PineRadio.com.